I want us to talk about a very simple, practical plan of discipline and training with your children, all right? Just a 9-step plan. And there's nothing magical about these 9 steps. And these may be things you're doing, or you may be doing some, not doing others. But I found these helpful in my own life, and I just want to give it to you very quickly. First of all, in the matter of when some offense has been committed, there's some problem. The first offense, I need to get along with my child and clarify the instruction so that we will know we're on the same wavelength. In other words, my child does something, I just don't turn around if they've had no prior instruction or warning about that and backhand them, you know, knock them off the stool because I need to be fair about that. But then I only give one warning. So let me just give these steps to you. First of all, send them to their room. By that I mean that you want to deal privately with them. I don't think it's a proper thing to deal in discipline before the other children. And that's just kind of an unhealthy thing. And also, sending them to their room or to your room or to a private place somewhere gives them time to think about what they've done. It gives the Spirit of God, literally, opportunity to begin to work in conviction upon their heart. Let me pause right there, and somebody says, well, what do I do in public? You know, what do I do if my son, we're out in a restaurant, and my son, you know, picks up a plate of mashed potatoes and, you know, heaves it across the room, and I very, you know, it's the first offense, so I just clarify it, and then he heaves a second one. what I do with my child? Well, you know, different people have different ideas about this. Some say, well, I never spank my child in public, and I would only do that. I wouldn't do that publicly. I would only do that if I could get somewhere away that was private. But you know, in the day in which we live, that's kind of a dangerous thing in terms of all the child abuse things, that kind of thing. If there was a way in which I could do that, particularly with a smaller child, and get them away where I knew I would be private and unhindered, that would be fine. But I tell you, livable way to do that is just to say to the child, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. Now, right now, you might apply that to a child and they might laugh in your face, you know, and say, he said that 1,000 different times. Well, we go back to rule number 3 or whatever it was, be consistent. And when you develop that, when you get home with your child, and sure enough, he is disciplined at home, you don't have to do that too many times before that child learns, well, my dad means business. And when we get out in a public place, my dad says to me, son, when you get home, you're going to be disciplined. And then he knows that's true. One fellow said, well, how do I know if my kid will remember between, about that spanking, between when he commits the offense and when he gets home? Children can't remember that far, and it won't have any good effect upon his life. Well, just try a little experiment with that child. Next time you're out, say, Johnny, I'll give you a piece of candy when you get home. Then see if he remembers that. If he remembers that, he's old enough to remember the discipline, and he usually will. So get them off privately. Secondly, you take time to calm down and pray. Don't discipline a child in anger, and it just takes time. And it may take a little longer at some times than other times. But boy, you need to take the time to calm your spirit before the Lord, so that you know when you're walking into that situation, you're walking in yourself. How can you train a child to have a right heart attitude if you're walking in with a wrong heart attitude, see? So take the time to calm down your heart and then pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for love. Pray for firmness, courage, to not listen to excuses or backtalk, but to hold the line. Pray that God would grant repentance to your child. You know, the Bible says repentance is a gift that God gives. God grants repentance. And so I pray for my children. Lord, would you just grant them? Would you be gracious to show them, give them a change of mind about this issue and make it a really redemptive training opportunity? So take time to calm down and pray. And then in the third place, question them. When we get into the setting there, we begin to talk. And it's so important not to just walk in with both barrels and lecture number 372, which they've heard 1,000 different times. That has very little effect, I have discovered a lot of times, on my children. But it takes time to question them, which appeals to their conscience, to begin to ask them questions and to make sure that you get a response. Now, we ask in our home several different questions. First of all, I ask, what did you do that was wrong? I want them to identify and to verbalize and to crystallize in their minds exactly what they did, and then begin to take and to accept personal responsibility for their sin. And here again, we're at the point where we don't want them to justify, excuse, pitch blame. We're not here to talk about Susie or Johnny or your school teacher. What did you do that was wrong? And then fourthly, we're going to reinforce biblical principles. A couple of things. First of all, I want to establish in my child the fear of God. And I mean that in a real good sense of that term. It means a reverence, an awe, a respect for God. And I often, in fact, invariably always, when we're disciplining our children, after we have identified what they've done was wrong, I ask this question. How does God feel about that sin? How does God feel about that sin? I want them to think about that, see, and to realize that they're not sinning against Susie, and they're not sinning just against Mommy or Daddy. They're sinning against God. There's great biblical justification for that. Psalm 51:4, as well as many other places. David, when he came clean about his sin of against Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, what did he say? Did he say, Lord, I've sinned against Uriah, I've sinned against Bathsheba? What did he say? Lord, against thee, you, and you only have I sinned. And see, any sin I commit is a sin against God. Any sin that I commit is a sin against God. And any sin my child commits, as much as I love them, as much as I think it might be a small, it's a sin against a holy God. And they need to learn that early in their life, because adult problems are just youth problems and have never been resolved. So I want them to begin early in life to accept responsibility and to see that as a sin against the Lord. How does God feel about that? If I'm dealing with one of our small children who doesn't know how to verbalize that, they say, well, I don't know. I say, well, does God feel happy or does God feel sad about that? I mean, does that break his heart? Does God enjoy it when you do that? Or does that break his heart? Does that grieve his heart? And it does grieve the heart of God, doesn't it? The Bible says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, see. Grieve is a love word. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I want my children to be wise. And so I want them to reverence and to fear God before whom they stand. And then secondly, as I reinforce these biblical principles, I want to develop the biblical lines of authority. I will ask my child, do you know why Daddy is disciplining you? Do you know why Daddy is doing this? And then I explain to them that I'm doing that, that God has told me that this is what a daddy is supposed to do. And so I'm doing this as his representative, and I'm doing this because God has told us, and because God loves you, and because I love you. I want them to know and identify that I'm obeying the Lord and that God is leading in this situation. All of that to just reinforce and develop the idea that they are standing before God and their sin. And there's only one way to deal with sin. And then, if spanking is called for, we begin that process, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment, but discipline them until the will is won over. You say, you know, I've heard a lot of guys say a lot of stuff about this, and I don't know that I agree with all of it, but I believe that I need to continue to spank my child until they begin in some ways to accept what is taking place to some extent. And you say, well, how do you know that? You know, and that's kind of a very subjective thing. But I think the key is you've got to know your child. You've got to know your child. I mean, one child, I may swat one of my children one time, and boy, immediately they're brokenhearted and repentant. Another one, you just may have to just wail the daylights out of, you know, to get their attention. But I tell you this. If you have spanked your child and they are still defiant and angry and pouting and mad, you're not through. nothing has been accomplished in that thing. And you've got to spank them. And I'm going to say this, you know, in fear of some people have ideas about this, but I tell you, you've got to spank a child firmly enough to reinforce the issue. I'll tell you a little humor story. My son David was born both feet first, double footling breach, they call it. And there's a lot of complications when he was born. They told us he'd never walk, and his right quadriceps muscle, they said the nerve was severed, he'd never walk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, lo and behold, he is walking and running and leaping and praising God. And the Lord's done some marvelous things in his life through that. But we didn't realize after his leg began to, the nerve regenerated somehow, and he began to walk and be able to move. We didn't realize he didn't have any feeling in this leg. And he still doesn't to this day. He thinks that's the neatest thing in the world. He can stick pins in his leg. You know, it's a cool trick, man. And so you know how a kid is. One day, one little period in his life when he was younger, I would spank him, and I tell you, I just lay in that guy, and he just no tears, no repentance, no nothing, you know. And I didn't know what was going on. In fact, I talked to Holly about it. I said, that kid, he's really, I don't know what the deal is. I'm just bearing down on there, and I can't get a response out of him. One day I reached over just to goose his leg. We were riding in the car, and my daddy used to do that to me. I reached over and said, you know how a horse eats corn? I reached over. I grabbed that leg. I worked that thing over, and he just didn't even move. I said, David, I said, don't watch this. He said, Dad, I can't feel anything in that leg. And lo and behold, he'd been hiding it from us. But he has no feeling in this backside right here. And he was kind of turning this way every time I... You got to discipline firmly enough to reinforce the issue. Not long ago, our 2.5-year-old Bethany was pulling a little deal of getting out of the crib. She'd get out of the crib, get out of the crib, get out of the crib, you know. And so we'd put her in, say, Bethany, you know, you need to stay in the crib. She'd get out of the crib. And I said, well, you know, this is we're going to have to deal with this issue. So the next night, we began this spanking routine. I explained to her clearly. Gave her proper instructions, put her in the crib. She got out of the crib. I got her in there and spanked her. And she, no big deal. You know, she just didn't respond very much. I put her back in the crib. She got out of the crib, came back in, spanked her. About this time, Holly says, are we going to go? I said, well, this is, you know, this is a test. We're training this child. It's a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, about seven, yeah, I don't know how many times, four or five times, literally, I went through this little scenario. Finally, I realized, you know, you've got to put a little muscle behind it to get through a pamper. I'm telling you the truth. And I realized that I was just kind of patting her for fear. I mean, I'm not going to harm my children or hurt them. But I realized that I was not spanking her strongly enough to make her realize there is a consequence for your sin. And the next time, without harming her or hurting her at all, I just bore down a little bit more. And, boy, all of a sudden, tears, real, genuine tears came to her eyes, and she realized this is business. I put her back in bed. She didn't get it up the rest of the night. I don't know if she's just worn out or if I was worn out or what. But that issue of spanking is important. Discipline until the will is won over. You know, can I give you a little practical thing that somebody told me one time too? I used to get my boys, you know, and put them over my knee, and I'd spank them like this. We use a pizza paddle. I don't ever use my hand, which I think is an important thing. You know, you may have ideas about that, but I think the hand ought to be for affection. I've seen people that sometimes a child, you'll reach to them with the hand, well, they shrink back because that hand has always been used to just slap a kid across the room. And that hand, I don't use that hand for spanking. I use a neutral object. We have a little pizza paddle. It makes a lot of noise. Doesn't hurt all that bad. It makes a lot of noise to them. And I'd put my kids, my boys, across my legs, you know, and put my other leg on their other legs, you know. But I'm telling you, those little critters got strong on me all of a sudden. And you can't hold those guys down, you know. And boy, it'd be a wrestling match, you know. You're holding them, you're hitting over here. And that's a little frightening thing because God has designed a wonderful place for this procedure to occur right on the backside of a child. And you can hurt a child if you don't hit that target spot. And so a fella told us one time not too long ago, he said, well, let me tell you the procedure I use. Said, I put my hand on the bed, I tell my child to put his hands on my hand, and then to bend over and put his cheek on his hands. And then he has to stay there. Now, if he resists that, I just give him a few little love pats to get him down. But then he gets down, and then we spank. If he resists and turns, I just say, well, the longer you resist this, the longer it's going to take. And it's been a wonderfully helpful procedure to stop that wrestling match in our home. That was just free, but sure was helpful to me. Number six, and that is allow time for brokenness. You know this thing of saying, well, you know, my child, I discipline them, and I'm not going to let them cry. That's just hogwash. I think it's a wonderful thing to train your child to be brokenhearted. And you want time to let them cry, just to be held, to feel the weight of their sin and the weight of the corresponding discipline. And by the way, I think this is a wonderful time to ask them a further question after they are kind of winding down on that crying, and that is to say to them this question: what would you do different next time? What would you do different? I've asked them three or four questions. I asked them, what did you do? What did God think about it? Do you know why Daddy is disciplining you? And what would you do different next time? In other words, how would you change this in the next? And that helps establish them in proper behavior. And they have to think through in their mind and establish beforehand what they should do on the next occasion. And then number seven, pray with them. And you might say to them, now when you finish crying, just cry here for a while, but when you finish crying, I want to pray with you. And when you pray with them, that they will know and understand God's love for them and your love for them, and they will truly understand the consequences of disobedience. And then take time to love them. I tell you, that's so important. I love to sit with my children after a moment of discipline. I tell you, and I'm not, and you know this if you've disciplined your children, it's some of the most intimate times I've ever had with my kids right there. Beautiful times. Wonderful times. Blessed times. You know why I think that's true? I think I've just exhibited to my child that I really do love them, that I'm not selfish. I'm not just wanting to take care of my own things, my own time, my own way, that I care about them enough to take time to correct their behavior and love them enough to discipline them. So just take time to love them. My mother and dad were wonderful people, but my mother had a way about her. I don't know what it was, but boy, every time she dealt with me, I could never get out of that room without a smile on my face. She just loved me in such a way. My dad had some of that same ability, that before it was all over with, I had my arms around them and vice versa. And then finally, lead them to make any needed restitution. In other words, the discipline is not done until they have gone back to the ones that they have wronged. The Bible says in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6 that if I've sinned against my brother, it's my responsibility to go to my brother and make it right. And most of the times in this case, it's literally my brother or my sister in the home. And I need to instruct my child and teach them and train them what to say. Now, let me give you a little, and we'll learn more about this a lot here in these next few days in the revival. But I think just running by, you know, as the kid's going out the door and saying to his brother, I'm sorry, or they saying, I'm sorry, just like that, you know, it really has no effect. There's no repentance, there's no facing the issue, and there's no opportunity for the other individual to respond. And so it's a wonderful thing, I think, to teach our children to say something like this: God has shown me what I did was wrong. God has shown me what I did was wrong. Would you forgive me? And that does a couple of things. One of the things is which it places a responsibility on the forgiver to get that forgiveness out of their heart, say, or they may walk around with bitterness about that issue. So God has convicted me that what I've done was wrong. Would you forgive me? By the way, that's the same statement that I've used 8 zillion times in my life with so many people that I've wronged. I've had to go back to them again and again and again, say to this individual, and when I've sinned against them, say, God has convicted me. What I did was wrong. Would you forgive me? It's the same statement that some of you may be needing to make with your children, even with your adult children, in the coming days and weeks. Someone has asked, what age do you stop spanking your children? (laughs) 35, 40, college? I heard one fella give a wonderful response to that question. He said, you deal with your child as long as he acts like a child. And I don't know. You know, I don't know that you can put an age on that, because children are just different. It may be that you find alternate means of discipline as they get older. But I tell you what, there's a point where, I mean, even older children, I'm talking about 11, 12, 13 years old, who are exhibiting that kind of spankable offenses are being committed. I think it may need to be spanked. Really, I really believe this is true, that a child, and this is not my thinking, it's other people's thinking, but the child by 5 years old ought to learn obedience. I mean, they really ought to have obedience under their belt, but that takes discipline. It takes training, but it can be done. But there are times, maybe as they get older, where they need to spank. Let me just interject something right here, too. And I almost hesitate to say this because wives, I don't want you to log this in your mind to use against your husband later. But it has become the rule in our home that when I'm home, when I'm there, I do the disciplining. I don't care if they've done something against mother. I don't care if I was out in the workshop when it happened over here and mother was involved with all things. Dad is the one who does the disciplining. Now, that doesn't mean that my wife doesn't train our children, but in terms of spanking in our home, when I'm there, I do the spanking. I don't know all the reason to explain to you why we came to that conclusion, except that every time I look in the Scripture, the primary admonition is to the fathers. And there's just something about that that established the father's authority and role in the home that's important. And I think you ought to consider that in your own home. And that also takes... helps that wife in terms of disciplining older children. The father's able to handle that a little bit better just by his mere physical strength than others. And if you're doing it properly, you put that kid down there with his hand on your hand and his cheek on your hand, and you give him a swat, and if he gets up, you just wait till he gets back down, and you're going to stay there till the job gets done. Then it stops all this physical wrestling match that goes on, I think.